Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So you've been dating this girl for a few months. You really like each other. Oh, by the way, this took place before quarantine, so the quarantine is not related. You have been getting along really well. And like, she's super specific. Like, she has a really good memory and she's like very like on it. But you kind of like the attention. It's nice to have someone focus on you. And then you are looking up something on her computer, and you see that she has a Google spreadsheet that is called your name. So you open it, you look at the Google spreadsheet, and you see it's a very detailed pro and con list of your relationship. And every time that you've offended her, even when you didn't know it, every time you've had a fight, it's all listed out with all of her feelings itemized. She also has like a ranking system for all of your faults and positive characteristics. You read the whole thing, then you close out of it and you can't stop thinking about it. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Patrick.
Is this a shared spreadsheet or is it just
Great
her?
Question.
Yeah.
You didn't check. You don't know.
Mm.
You closed Ooh. It before. But like, you didn't see comments from anyone or anything.
Okay.
I think if it's not shared and it's just the way that like she processes stuff, it like that's how she organizes thoughts. That's how she like remembers things. I think it's fine.
Oh shit! Really? I'm opposite, dude.
Well, it's really? Like a journal. I kind of feel what you're saying, Patrick. It's just her
it's
way.
It's like
of...
a journal, but now you've seen it. So I guess to me, whether it's okay for her to do or not, you now know this information. Can you bring it up? Can you confront her?
Can you confess?
I mean, is it her computer? Were you snooping?
It was her. It was. I mean, you snooped to the point where you saw a spreadsheet. Like you were looking up. She gave you permission to look for something else, mm-hmm. and then you saw your name, so you clicked on it.
Is it like a desktop icon? Was she like?
No, it's just her most recently used Google Docs.
Oh shit.
But it had your name, so you didn't really think about it. You just clicked it without.
Yeah, you see your name, you click it.
Yeah, you done snooped, Mogi.
You snooped.
I think you snooped.
You snooped. Okay, but then do you just what do you do? I guess that's the piece. Whether it was okay for like, because it's like you're opening a journal falls off the shelf, opens to a page. You
oh
read
god,
it.
Your name's on it. Oh my god.
Yeah, you see it. You're gonna read. Of course you are.
You know, you're moving the bookshelf so you can dust behind it. Obviously,
exactly. As you always do.
And there's this one stubborn dust bunny, so you start kicking the corner that her diary is in.
Lies open, and your name's there. You gotta look at it. Now you have this information.
Here's the thing. If the information is all like based on like just figuring out your relationship, like just keeping track of it, I think that's cool. I knew a dude in college who kept spreadsheets of people's pet peeves and things that pissed them off so he could use them against people later.
That's psychotic, dude.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Fucking oh, that's next monstrous. Level. You were.
Was he a poli-sci major?
No, he was a composition, music composition major. Mm. Played Hang the tuba. He's a monster.
Oh, those what tubas.
Yeah, that's pretty horrible.
For me, it's like there is something really nefarious about a spreadsheet. Like, I like appreciate, I'm like, okay, I'm fine that you like, it's basically a journal. Like when you guys said that, I was like, okay, but there is something about it being a spreadsheet and like pros and cons, like that, like for me, I would have to talk about it because I would be like, A, obviously, like, you have questions, like, the other person does, about our relationship. Like, there are things that, like, bother you. Mm-hmm. So, like, we should talk about it. And I think I would just come clean and I'd be like, look, I should not have done this, but it is what it is. I saw a spreadsheet with my name on it. I shouldn't have clicked on it. I should have respected your privacy. But also, like, how would I not click on it?
Yeah, what do you mean I chew too loud?
Yeah. And, like, also, like, are these things, like, are any of these things, like, okay, how long is the con list, you know? Like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, do you, like, is this worth ending? Like, are you wanting to end our relationship? Or is this just, like, a way for you to internalize and, like, kind of, like, go through, just think about things? If you're just, if,
well, okay, so here's the thing. Each of the cons has a weighted value, and each of the pros has a weighted value. And so there's a running tabulation, and at the top it says stay or go.
Oh my
in
god.
Green or red.
Ooh, boy. Okay, oh, actually, wow. You leave her because she's a fucking dork. You're like, are you kidding me? Fucking loser. Get out of my life.
Here's the thing. Important context from the original Am I the Asshole?
Yes.
Both of these people work in finance and use spreadsheets every day.
So they do.
This isn't a single thing that they're gamifying.
I took like the worst thing she did in the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
She also in the spreadsheet was kept track of like things he likes and ideas for birthday presents and like things like that about their relationship so that she could be a better partner to him.
Mm-hmm. It's but also not, like I, the things pros he
I
likes.
Pulled out like the most, I think the like thing that would bug me the most is just the pros and cons list. But the other is just like a list of things to remember so that you can be a good partner.
I mean, for me though, like things he likes, like, I don't know why I'm sticking on that, but like, okay, fine. You find love where you find love. That's fine. Everybody can have love. I'm not saying anybody's not worthy of love, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh. But
I'm walking out that goddamn door because if you can't remember things I fucking like.
Okay, but what if it's that they write down that you saw a concert on April 27th, 1992 that was really meaningful to you, so they make a note of it to see if they can find a bootleg of that concert. You want them to remember that date?
Yeah, or like if they're like, oh, you know, release date of this like Blu-ray is coming out like on this date, I want to make sure I get it for them or something. I understand that. I just feel like I just think maybe I cannot date someone in finance. Yeah. It's so repulsive to me, like the idea of someone doing a spreadsheet.
Like it's funny. Somebody in the comments was like, this is such an INTJ thing. And then the response was like, INTJs have much better OPSEC. They would never be discovered.
That's
so
true.
I guess what I'm saying is Micah may have one.
I'm sure he does. But here's the thing. You keep secrets from those you love.
Yes. If you love them.
If you love them, you'll keep that secret.
Yep.
Because I can't, like, absolutely not. I get it. You need to organize your thoughts. Just like, I don't know. And here, I love spreadsheets. I do. I love them.
This Kelly,
you do not. You're so full of it.
You can't take that perspective.
Yeah.
You do not love spreadsheets.
Okay. No. I like them for, you know, organization for like projects, like work.
I would argue that a relationship is a work project. You got to put in the hours to make these relationships work.
What if the opposite is true? What if you are dating a person who does spreadsheets for everything, right? Like They have spreadsheets with their favorite restaurants, with, you know, movies you guys have seen, all mm-hmm. this stuff. But you know for a fact they do not have a spreadsheet on you. Is that weirder?
No, I'm special.
Well, it depends on what kind of partner they are, right? Are they a forgetful partner who's like doesn't pay attention to you? Then I'd be like, this is just a symptom of a bigger problem.
Yeah. But
her nose is always in a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And you're just like, babe.
You get access to your Google Docs so you can like write to her in the Google Docs.
Oh my God.
You're like making a spreadsheet on yourself and then sharing it with her.
Oh, that's weird. How did that show up in your inbox? Better click it.
Okay, Kelly, I want to get deeper into your office suite problems. So like,
okay,
would it be okay if this was a Microsoft Word document or a Pages?
Well, so here's the weird thing. Like Micah and I had a before quarantine, I'm sure it still exists, we just don't use it, a Google Doc. We had a couple Google Docs of like, one was like restaurants that we wanted to try, that like if we like found one just separately on our own time, we put it in there so that way we would remember, oh, I want to go eat there. So that was whatever. And then there's also like, we had a Google Doc, or maybe even a Google spreadsheet, planning our honeymoon to Japan and like mm-hmm. things we wanted to do. I think that's the thing. For me, there always has to be like a goal that you're trying to, the source of the project cannot be you. I think that's the problem. Like the source, like, or the center of the project has to be like places we want to eat. This so, vacation Kelly, we're trying to do.
What if there's like a drop down that's like Kelly's birthday and that's one category of information, and then
like things I would want to do on my birthday?
And then there's another one that's like a fifth anniversary or trip to Kelly's parents' house, and like it's more specific, so it is like I guess task oriented. Does that seem less creepy?
Yeah, I think so. I think I don't like that it's just like, I think the thing that I don't like, and I know that this is very, very unfair, and I apologize to anybody who like actually does this, but I just, the thing I don't like is the, like, these are the things I like about this person and things I don't like about this person, like in such a weird clinical way.
Mm.
Like, I think that there is, and I know that I am married to an INTJ and many of my close friends are INTJ. So I understand the, like, the, you know, let's logically look at this, and it's just like an easy way to like store information. But just, I don't know. There's something about like it's such a like feelings based thing, a relationship. Mm. It's so, you know, amorphous. Yeah. It's like not a thing that's then being put into, which, yes, sometimes you do have to do that. How many times have I sat down a friend and was like, yo, let's make a pro con list of that boyfriend of yours.
And then like, oh my God, Kelly. Okay, but that's more of a tactic of you trying to destroy a relationship.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
That's like, less about balancing the truth.
Oh my God, you know what I've done? Which is even more nefarious, of like, let's do like two columns. One is benefits of just having a boyfriend. One is benefits of dating Steve.
Oh, Kelly!
How many are the same? Are you just afraid to be alone?
You monster.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, should I adjust my hand by glinting my wedding ring in your eye? Apologies.
Here's the thing. I haven't done that recently. This was a move I did in high school. When it was like a lot of people that were just like, I just want to date to the dance. And I was like, you want to go with him to the dance or with a person to the dance? You know what I'm saying? Let's mm-hmm. think about that. But I don't know. I think that applies in adult life.
No, it applies. It's the role of the friend. To be
absolutely not.
It's like that's your therapist's job.
No,
or like you realize that.
Me and Ryan's job to do privately.
Oh yeah, we'll do it for you, but we're not going to tell you about it.
You never share that with the test subject.
No.
Oh, no. Yeah, I guess, and like Kelly said, I can't remember who asked, who's involved in this spreadsheet. If like Kelly and I had a spreadsheet about, I don't know, a third party's relationship. That would be like fairly normal.
Yeah, that's normal.
Let's be real. It's every third party relationship you guys are remotely acquainted with.
It's true. There's so many sheets on that spreadsheet that you have to scroll through. Yeah.
You guys had to buy more space on Dropbox to get this thing done. Like, only two Google's free terabytes.
Yeah, we had to move it off the cloud because there was too much. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that relationship, I think, is pretty doomed.
What?
Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. They're both in finance. It seems like they're fine.
Here's the thing. People who are in finance are, like, from another planet. Like, I don't get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, like totally aliens.
Alien to me.
Wow. Oh, I get it.
Wait, really? Colin?
Yeah, I get it. I understand.
Good work,
just
Carl.
Now. It was only the third example.
We're talking alien ships today because as of the day that we are recording this, it is April 26th, which is Alien Day for LV-426 being the alien home planet.
Cool.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
From this movie series, Alien.
That's correct.
Happy Alien Day.
Happy Alien Day, guys.
Aww.
How are you celebrating Alien Day?
Sitting on my ass.
Yeah.
Cool.
What about you? You doing something special?
No, sitting on my ass as well.
Right.
Oh, well, Nicole and I are putting on our Xenomorph and Dock Loader costumes later, and we're going to wrestle. So, you know.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Which is which? Who's which?
Oh, I like to do the Sigourney part.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's better.
I was, so before we decided this was our topic, I was just looking at stills of the first Alien movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the, like, sleeveless tee and cotton panties look from the end of the first one.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, oh, my God. Like, that is the fucking stomach I'm after right there. So I, like, started doing crunches and shit so I could wear little cotton panties and a sleeveless t-shirt like Sigourney Weaver did.
I mean, it's such a good look. It's iconic. Iconic look.
Just like,
and it's true.
Terrified. Yeah. And like, those underwear are not made for an adult person, clearly.
No, they are so low rise. They are
so low rise.
They're like below the butt cheek somehow.
Like, I feel like you would take off your pants and they would just be in your butt.
Yeah. No, your butt, that your ass, like, is eating those.
You wouldn't be wearing them anymore. They would be gone, disappeared into your butt cheeks.
Yeah. I'm trying to find some stills here.
Well, it's also a great, like, what is that, the fourth act of that movie? Because, like, if you hadn't seen the movie before, you think you're all is good.
Yeah, you're done.
Like this is supposed to be the, like, denouement. Like, we're supposed to be chilling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she's basically getting ready for bed.
Yeah, and you think, oh, it's going to end with her sleeping.
Yeah,
oh,
there'll be no need to put on a spacesuit at any point in the remainder of the movie.
This oh
is
my
just like
God.
We all get to relax. And then, no, it becomes the hottest, scariest thing anyone has ever seen.
Holy shit. Those are like, what is this, 2004? What is it? Like, they're so low rise.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Oh, my God. Frankie B's. Holy shit.
Frankie B's.
They were very popular jeans in the early 2000s that boasted a 2-inch fly.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
You know you're on the right track when fly dimension is coming into play.
Welcome to the fly dimension. Sorry.
Jeff Goldblum's there. Who else?
Quick, name another famous fly.
Bart from that episode of The Simpsons where he does the fly thing.
So do we have...
There's something about Mary.
There we go.
That's a very famous fly scene.
Or that one episode of Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The fly. Oh, yeah, that's the a famous fly.
Famous flies.
So we're talking fly ships tonight.
No.
Do we have to talk about that balloon movie again?
Oh, my God. We never saw it.
Nope.
Wait, what balloon movie? Are you talking about Up?
No, Colin.
You were the one most excited.
Oh, I watched it.
You watched it?
Yeah, it's great.
Shit.
It's everything I wanted.
Okay.
That sounds different than great.
Yeah, I feel like that's a much more subjective question.
Like, oh, I heard it was really good, but, you know, from Colin, so.
Okay, so does anyone have any alien ships?
I got one. Patrick has one.
There's been some discourse on the internet recently about Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, yeah.
Which is stupid discourse, right? Like,
yeah.
she's a kid.
I'm not
like,
super familiar with it. Can you break it down?
The discourse is, I think one asshole was like, Lilo and Stitch is a bad movie because Lilo is a brat and teaches kids to be disobedient. And then the rest of the internet, rightly, was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay.
And then I think we all just kind of circled around, what the fuck are you talking about, to this one person for maybe too long.
Yeah.
Because like, it's just a wrong opinion. And right. Dumbass can have that wrong opinion.
Well, and like people were like sending death threats and shit, and I was like, this is why Twitter doesn't need to give everyone opinions.
Yeah. Yep.
Wait, so also, I agree that they're people wrong, threatening but, like, to all- kill people were threatening to yeah. kill the guy who doesn't like Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, give me a fucking break, dog.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it. Like, it's just like they have the wrong opinion about this movie, and who cares? Like,
who cares? God. Okay. Anyway, sorry. What were you saying about this? What was this a springboard for?
This is a springboard for there is a pairing of characters in Lilo and Stitch that I just want to see interacting with each other and maybe getting like a little something going. I'm talking about Agent Pleakley, who is the little green alien, one-eyed alien, voiced by Kevin McDonald of the Kids in the Hall. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Jumba, who creates Stitch in the first place.
I love that.
Ooh.
So they go to Earth, and they're like, and Pleakley's like, I'm the Earth expert, but he doesn't know shit about Earth, right? But he mm-hmm. thinks he does. And Dr. Jumba is like, we just need to find, experiment 626. And like they're putting on costumes, they're trying to find this alien experiment together, and like sometimes they have to pose as a couple on vacation together, and like
I'm seeing an image of that.
Mm-hmm, maybe they take like the act a little bit too far one night and like start like, you know, kissing at a restaurant or something, and then like they don't stop. This is what I want. This-
oh my god. And then when they get to the hotel, there's only one bed.
Uh-oh. And then there's like a law that requires them to be married.
Yeah, and then they just never find Stitch. They just like chase him around the world forever. And then realize that they don't have to chase him anymore because they found love instead.
Aww.
But sometimes even later they'll like joke about it, like I think Stitch is in Paris this weekend. Yeah, let's go find Stitch in Paris.
Oh, so it's all
Stitch is on the beach in Brazil.
Yeah, they're just they're funding basically a never-ending honeymoon on the company's expense account.
I love this.
Yes. Yeah, that's perfect.
Good job, Patrick.
Thanks.
So I've got an image here of Pleakley and Jumba, where he's like wearing a tucked in tank top and he's got his arm around Pleakley, and Pleakley's wearing like the hoop earrings and the red wig. It is very mm-hmm. cute.
I also like the idea that like neither of them is committed to acting like a specific gender, that like they'll switch it at any time. They'll do whatever they can to blend in with the humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gender's a construct, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I love that.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Colin, you had one?
I do have one. So my alien ship is the Jabba's Palace dancer Ula from Return of the Jedi with Invamula, who is the like opera hip hop singer from Fifth Element.
I love that character.
That's yeah. rad.
How do they meet?
Well, we got it. Here's the thing. We got to get Ula out of Jabba's Palace. I was thinking about before she ends up.
She gets eaten, right?
Yeah, she gets very much eaten.
Sad, sad, sad.
That sucks.
And just for, like, Jabba's fucking bullshit, like, proving that he has dominance over, like, the people that he owns. Like, fuck Jabba. I'm not willing to sacrifice Ula to that. So,
sorry, wait, you're taking the controversial stance that fuck Jabba the Hutt? You think Jabba the Hutt's a bad guy?
I'm saying he's like a fucking space gangster.
Whoa. Yeah, but like if you hang out with him, like he's not that bad.
No, Mogi, you're being a Jabba apologist.
He'll throw a good party.
Yeah, that's okay. True. So getting invited to one of Jabba's parties could be cool, but I think it's, you know, it's not worth it. It's not worth his bad behavior. Fair. But I think if Luke shows up to Jabba's palace like an hour earlier than he did, she doesn't end up getting put into the Rancor pit because Jabba couldn't reveal the trap door with Luke there. Mm-hmm. So I think we could save her that way. Just a little AU where he's faster.
Well, what if there's, because the what's the name of the fifth element singer?
Invamula.
So Invamula also ends up dying through the course of her adventure. So maybe they need to meet before their movies.
Oh, interesting. And so they're, oh God, but that's so tragic. Okay, so how about they're already dating? They've known each other for years. They're dating. They're in love. They're both artists. So Inva's like, hey, I'm going on this cruise ship tour. And they're like, oh, cruise ship tour. She's like, I know, but whatever. It's money. It's a paycheck.
Oh my God. This is sad.
And, yeah. And then Ula's like, well, okay, well, since you're going to be on the road for, you know, so long anyway, I'll go back home to Tatooine and I'll work some clubs there, you know, because I'm an exotic dancer and you can make a good living on Tatooine doing that. And then they die.
Oh my God. Sad.
So yeah. Sad. But it's now canon.
Yeah. Not, but it's canon, so.
I mean, so yeah, but it's canon, do? So there's nothing we can do about it.
There's nothing to be done. It's just shit. Sad canon.
Canon is cruel.
You know what?
Canon
and I was
is cruel.
I was planning on coming up with a whole way to get them out of this, but no, we're gonna go with the tragedy ship this time.
I feel like that tracks, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Mogi, do you have a alien ship?
I do have an alien ship. I mean, I have, like, some alien OTP ships, but I am going to spare you, because I really was going to do a Roswell ship. But I was like, no, I could do a different alien. I'm going to do, and this is a friendship. And it's also, like, shows, I don't know, maybe quarantine has broken me, but the E.T. and Elliot relationship, E.T. being an extraterrestrial, an alien, and Elliot is a boy on Earth, their friendship is obviously very powerful and sweet and amazing in the movie E.T., but I'm going to continue my ship to include the Canon commercial for, I think, like, Spectrum or something.
Oh, no.
No, it's really sweet, guys. And E.T. comes back. It's like a 10-minute movie. And yep. E.T. comes back and hangs out with Elliot, who's now grown with a family of his own, with a wife and kids. And he just, like, hangs out with them. And it's honestly, like, a sequel to E.T. probably could have been good in another world where we could get it. But, like, I liked this little commercial sequel.
Wait, so is this a holiday reunion?
I think it is a holiday reunion. Is that the name of the commercial?
It looks like it. I just did a quick Google. Yeah, I've never seen it.
I think there's a cut down that is commercial length. So I think there's like a minute or a 30-second version. But that's not even what I'm talking about. There's like a 5 to 10 minute short film. And it's very like, it's pretty much a sequel to E.T. Like, he lands in the backyard, Elliot goes out, it's like, what's going on? And there's Kit. Like, it's...
Was this a Super Bowl commercial or something like that?
I think it ended up being a Super Bowl commercial, but like I said, the longer cut is my preferred cut.
the Mogi cut.
Yeah.
Release the Mogi cut.
Oh my God.
Um, I I mean, if they're not going to release a Snyder Cut during quarantine, what are we even doing?
Oh my God.
But yeah, no, I think it is a testament to how sweet that relationship is and how like imprinted it is on me. Because that was definitely a VHS I watched many, 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 many times. Mm-hmm. To the point where I don't think I've sat down to watch the movie in the last 15 years, but I could close my eyes and play it pretty easily.
Yeah.
And all the emotions are still there. But yeah, so I'd go E.T. and Elliot is my alien ship.
So I've got a question about Elliot and E.T.'s relationship, right?
Okay.
Because they have like an empathy bond, but also like a biological bond too.
Ew.
Right? Like when one of them gets sick, the other one gets sick.
So when one has one has an orgasm, the other one has it.
Probably, yeah.
Yes. Oh, so E.T.'s been on his home planet for 37 years, wondering what the hell's going on.
Okay, in my headcanon, that thing, that bond is the physical part is probably weakened by distance.
Okay. Right.
Good.
So you don't think like as Elliot is growing up and like discovering masturbation that E.T. is just having spontaneous orgasms on his home planet?
Oh yeah, because for like when did E.T. come out? In
82.
Okay, so like in 1993, for like an entire year, E.T. is just constantly having an orgasm.
Wait, how old do you think Elliot is, Kelly?
Oh, wait, shit. I forgot that he wasn't born. Born the year that like, E.T. came
Elliot's
out.
Elliot's getting it on in his early 20s.
No, he had a great freshman year, you guys. He was just like,
I was picturing that he discovered masturbation when he was like 12 or something. But
I think pretty close to when E.T. left. I think E.T. was his friend, and then
yeah, no, yeah, everyone tracks. Would be like, wow, E.T. has not been the same since he came back from Earth.
He sprouts like a little mustache. I mean, that is a different sequel, Patrick, but I support you in writing it.
I guess my real question about it was like, how much, because it seems like there's a magical or like an alien element to their biological connection. And so I always wonder if that like sort of taints their emotional connection.
Oh.
Mm.
And I don't know if it does. Cause like I'm with you in that it's very sweet and the movie's very good.
Wait, I'm trying to remember the origin of their biological connection. Is it just,
I think it happens in the ouch moment. I think that's okay. When they're bonded together, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, yeah. And then like E.T. gets drunk and Elliot, or E.T. is drinking and Elliot gets drunk, or yeah. Drink, yeah, and Elliot gets drunk. And then, yeah, when E.T. starts to get sick because he's, like, being held by the bad government guys, that, like, Elliot also gets sick.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess it's all bullshit. And
thank you.
Wow. That's all I'm
saying. That relationship doesn't mean anything. Cool.
Well, yeah, so Patrick, what's your point? Because they have a physical connection, they can't have an emotional one?
No, it's just the emotional one doesn't have any actual weight to it because it's involuntary. It's just an extension of their physical one, which is just magic. So it's not about two beings connecting. It's like they're forced into it.
Dubcon.
But
I mean, Elliot's not any better as a human for having known E.T.
Yeah.
He's going to be searching for that kind of connection. He's never going to get married because he's going to look for somebody who gets sick when he gets sick.
That's right. And he's never going to experience that again.
That actually would have been a kind of fun sequel. It's Elliot just like lives alone in a trailer in the woods.
Oh no, but then it's going to go into like some weird like Munchausen by proxy stuff where Elliot's just like poisoning all the people he's in relationships with.
To see if it'll make him sick.
And himself at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh no, Kelly, do you have a good feeling ship?
I mean, I don't know how good feeling it is, but maybe it'll distract us. Okay, so I want to just really quick caveat that I would never cheat on Garrus.
Okay.
But.
Oh shit, you're about to tell us how you cheat on.
Yeah. Okay, so at the beginning of Mass Effect 3, you've like, if you play like I do, which actually reading this, I was like, shit, I gotta replay Mass Effect. Cause I kind of had forgotten about this character. So when you, in Mass Effect 2, if you play like me, you're romancing Garrus, and then you kind of go your separate ways and you have to find him again in Mass Effect 3. But prior to finding him, there is an individual who's also a Turian, but I would say arguably his face paint is cooler. He looks really cool. Adrian Victus. Adrian is, he is a general, and he fought in this really big war. So basically what's happening in Mass Effect 3 is that there's these like things called Reapers, which are just, how to describe them in a short way. Basically like, spoiler alert, what we end up learning is that like the most recent Big Bang was the result of like these Reapers trying to took all of our resources. And basically what they do is they disappear from our universe for X amount of time. And then once we have enough resources and energy and all that stuff, they come back and destroy everything. And then the universe starts over. So you're like just learning this and you're like, fuck, we got to stop this from happening. And this is like everything from Mass Effect 1 till now has been leading to this. Like we're now fighting against the Reapers. And obviously we're so like at a disadvantage. And also there's like, you know, obviously like a huge like sociopolitical landscape in Mass Effect itself. So there's like, you know, kind of infighting within the races. So this guy, Adrian Victus, he's been in the Turian military for like almost all of his life. So he's like been leading the Turians, which are his race of people and Garrus's race. Everyone loves him. He's like he has a very good service record. Everyone admires him. He's like a really great military leader. Then blah, 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 things happen. And he decides to be basically the representative of his people for like this kind of, I don't know how to describe it. Like everyone has, it's like the UN of Mass Effect, basically. And like, he's basically like pushed into being this. And he's like, I don't know if I want to, like, I'm not a politician. I'm like a general. And everyone's like, that's exactly why we need you. Anyway.
An outsider.
Yeah. He's an outsider. So he's like, and also he's like, I don't want to leave. Cause basically his home world is at stake. Like it's about to be destroyed. And so he decides to leave his home, the defense of his home world. And he's like, I'd rather die alongside my men, but like, I'll go and like be at this war summit. And then cause he learns like, if I don't do this, like the whole galaxy could be destroyed. And I guess I don't want that. And then he like starts like doing a lot of really cool stuff as a leader. Like historically his people, so there's like, oh, okay, I'm so sorry guys. This is like so dorky, so in depth.
I love this. I love Kelly having to explain all of Mass Effect to us.
So there's like at play here, there's like these three races at play. There's the Turians, there's the Salarians, and there's the Krogan. Okay, the Krogan are like big, scary, really strong battle lords. Okay. The Salarians are like lizardish type looking people, lizard froggy type looking people who are very, very smart and really good with science, but they don't live very long. And Krogan can live a very long time. And then Turians are like really good warriors too, but they're kind of like a mix. Like they are smart too and really good tacticians. So basically, there was like this big war where like the Krogan started getting really strong. So then the Salarians created this genophage, which made the big strong guy Krogans infertile. Like they can't produce babies.
Oh Jesus.
And that's a war crime.
Yes, it's a war crime. And they partnered with the Turians, who's the race of my boy, to go implement that, like to go spread it. So historically, like there is this like, but what do we do? Because like we know that like this is the voice of the Salarians, basically. Like if we cure the genophage, then the Krogans are going to destroy us all. But yes, it is a war crime what we did, and it's, like, unfair. But they're barbaric, and they will kill us, is what the Salarians are basically saying. And he's, like, and so this guy, Victus, he's, like, the leader of the Turians. He basically leads a Turian-Krogan alliance. And he's, like, you know what? It wasn't cool that we did this. Like we should not have been involved in this, like, Salarian-Krogan thing. So, like, I think that we should try and find a cure and get the cure to the Krogans. And so he like leads this like kind of reparations type thing. And also like he, oh, lots of sad things happen. His son dies, blah, blah, blah. But basically like he tries to write history and also at the same time is very hot and is very like, he like sees Commander Shepard and is like really in admiration of her like ability to lead people and rule and all that. So like you guys have some moments and while he's on the ship and he just like is a very, I feel like he's a very complex character that is, he's very cool. Like he's like, you know what? It is scary to like let the Krogan like start reproducing again, but like there's so many things at stake and like we need to do right by these people, even if like the bigger thing is that we need to stop the Reapers. Like we still should do right by these people. So that's why I like him. I think he and Shepard could have had like a little fling.
Now, at this point, does she think Garrus is dead?
No.
Oh.
She just doesn't know where he is. Like they kind of like went, like she's like gonna find him shortly after, but she does find him first. And he's like, you know, being a cool general guy and he's like very good at his job and everyone admires him. And so like you see him and you like hang out with him a little bit and then you're like, you should come on my ship. And he's like, I can't, my people. And you're like, yeah, but like the Reapers. And he's like, oh, fine. So he comes and then like he kind of hangs out on your ship and he admits to you, like he's vulnerable with you. He's like, I don't feel comfortable being a politician. And you're like, it's okay, baby. You're doing such a good job. And like,
baby.
And then Garrus comes back and you're like, okay, we have to put this on hold because Garrus is back. But I do appreciate what we had. And so like, I like him and
like the what might have been.
Yeah. I think I ship the what might have been of them. Like in another life, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. I would read an AU fic of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also his face paint is cool. You should look him up.
No, his face paint is cool. It looks like kind of skull like.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Makes him seem like a scary boy.
Yeah. He looks scary.
He totally looks scary.
He looks scary, but he's not scary.
That's the best kind of boy.
Yeah, best kind of boy. And also he's a sad boy because like he basically like is a little bit naive in trying to like he believes, okay, you know what, it's gonna be fine if we cure the Krogan. And then so he sends his son in, basically his son goes in to like enact that.
Yeah.
And basically finds out the hard way that like everything is so much bigger than them, and there was this bomb that was planted many, many years ago to stop the Krogan from doing anything else, and his son dies in that, and he's like, shit, you know what, this everything is so much bigger than I thought it was, and that sucks, and like my son's dead and that's sad. So he's a sad boy, a sad not scary boy. He's great. Shit, I need to replay it. I was like, damn, you know what?
I think so.
I was like, damn, I need to replay. I'll start streaming Mass Effect again.
I was like, because you're streaming regularly again, I feel like this is the time to bring everyone in. And I could watch it like a soap opera. I could watch it without being good at video games.
Yeah, I mean, it is dramatic. It is dramatic. Yeah.
Lovely. I like it. I'm into a little, you know, a little side fling. I think those are good for, especially in like with you and Garrus, you know, the like spanning years over planets and galaxies and stuff like that. You need a little fucking side adventure in your romance.
You do. Because here's the thing. While Garrus is gone doing his own thing, I'm not clocking who he's hooking up with. And I know he's hooking up. He's Garrus.
Yeah. That's what you love about him. Machine.
Of course he's hooking up.
He has the charisma of Cary Grant. This guy is hooking up with everybody. Are you kidding? So yeah, that's it.
Love
Sorry,
it.
I'm thinking about Cary Grant right now.
Yeah. I think you would like him, Ryan, if you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you would like him because he's very confident and he, whatever. I need to stop talking about Garrus. I need, like, why? Why?
Because you love him.
I do. Shit. Ooh. Okay. Yeah. Do we have any questions from Twitter?
We do have a question from Twitter. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
If you would like to have your questions read and answered on the show, you can tweet us at shippledips, that's shipple like nipple, and dips like nips. Or you can email us at shippledipshow@gmail.com.
All right, so this one comes from Twitter. Hey, Shipple Dips, I need advice. I talk to my SO on Zoom about an hour every day and spend the rest of my time working alone from home. I want to look nice for them, but it feels wasteful and inconvenient to put on makeup just for an hour of contact. What should I do?
Okay, I think there's a couple layers to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a question of, like, do you owe your partner putting on lots of makeup and all and doing your hair and all this mm-hmm. work? No, you don't. I don't think.
Mm-mm.
No, but, like, you can – there's something about feeling like you look good yes. when you're on a video call with someone.
Right, but that's not about their feelings as much as about your own feelings.
No, totally.
Mm-hmm. So if your feeling of wasteful and inconvenient, if those are, like, overriding – how good you would feel to take some time. But I certainly don't want anyone to think it's wasteful. Like we should all be only like making our own sourdough and gardening or something. Like,
yeah,
you can put on makeup. That's not, unless you're like down to your last pump of foundation. Like it's not wasteful in terms of like how you should be spending your time.
Yeah. Like it's not wasteful for if it makes you feel better, it's yes. not wasteful. You know what I mean? I have a proposition that they could do.
Let's hear it.
Okay, make it like a project. So like have it be, this is basically my pitch. Do full makeup like Babadook before your next call.
This is the worst pitch I've ever heard in my life. What?
No, I love it. I love it.
That is wasteful. You, how much eyeliner you need?
Hilarious.
I mean, I kind of like if you're, I don't know, are you, if the person that we're talking who asked this question is a makeup like artiste,
mm-hmm.
then I do like the idea of like then have fun with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say like be like Jessica Rabbit one day.
Yeah.
But
oh you got
Babadook the next day.
That's making a lot of assumptions, though, about someone who is complaining about having to put on makeup.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, God, I just don't have the energy. And we're like, full cosplay.
I just think if you make it like a fun game,
God.
How much can I scare this other person? Put on.
Yeah, I mean, that's fun.
Okay, study a picture of that person's mother. Then
no.
Kelly,
contour
no.
Kelly, your face no. to look no. exactly Kelly. Like their mom.
I think, okay, it's not wasteful from a time of, from a point of view of like, are you being a silly person for doing it? But also your partner likes you and that's why they're with you and they're not with you because you put on makeup well.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, they are happy to talk to you even without makeup.
Yeah, and, like, the impulse of, like, oh, I want it to be, like, special because, like, these are such, you know, it's basically turning your relationship into a fucking LDR against your will, which is,
yeah.
you know, bound to be stressful and sad and stuff. So mm-hmm. whatever I would say makes you and your partner happy, definitely not wasteful, but you don't have to, you know, like, yeah, like anything. If you were going to see them in real life and you don't feel like putting on makeup, that should be totally fine with them. And they should still love you.
Yeah.
I would say go online. I know deliveries can be a little halted, so do it today. Order that ring light right now, baby.
Yeah.
Because that's going to do
That's
going to do the bulk of the work for you.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Kelly and I discovered this amazing Instagram that does really good filters. So if you want to catfish your boyfriend,
yeah.
you can do that too.
Yeah.
Her name is Paige Piskin, I think is her name.
Yeah, Piskin.
That makes more sense that her name's Piskin.
Yeah.
They're
crazy.
PAIGEPISKIN. They're wild and they will take no time and you will get the best makeup look that you could ever.
Also, you will kind of look really different, but that's okay.
Yes. And like way trashier. Like
yeah,
Kelly
yeah.
at one point was ready to move to Miami.
Yeah.
She was
yeah.
looking so good.
I was ready.
Wow.
I was ready. So check those out.
I also think it should be noted that like you don't always have to do a Zoom call. When we were texting to plan to do this show today, Kelly sent a text that said, oh, I'm using a new service that doesn't have a video component, so we don't have to worry about being camera ready. And everyone exploded with happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I had already done about an hour worth of makeup, so.
Yeah, I wiped my face, all my beautiful makeup off.
Yeah, so. You guys can't see it because I was wearing full Garrus face paint. I was doing it as a surprise.
That's the meanest thing you've ever said.
So you know what? We got to eliminate the video element, so hey, who might argue? Oh,
my God.
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.